Sarah C.
And I'm Sarah D. You're listening to the Art Attack Podcast.
Each episode, we tackle a new work of art in Washington, D.C.
We hope our podcast encourages you to look at art in a new way.
When it comes to art, we're serious.
As an art attack.
We are at the National Museum of Women in the Arts, and we're looking at a sculpture by a woman named Barbara Hepworth. The title of the sculpture is Marin. It was done in 1962. It's alabaster, and it is what I would call sort of an abstract, naturalistic sculpture.
And it's not even maybe a foot high. It's a really quite small and intimate little sculpture. I think the only word that Sarah and I have used so far is, like, sexy. Like, it's kind of a sexy piece of art. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's white, and it's what is called a pierced form. And Barbara Hepworth had a series of these, but it's really, really smooth, and it's sort of, like, pear-shaped.
Yeah. You want to walk around it?
Yeah, let's walk around it as we're walking around. And it has a hole in sort of the center that goes up at a diagonal.
And the hole is sort of, I guess that's what gives it the pierced element to it, but it's sort of hollowed out. It sort of comes into a curve, but it sort of is organic to the piece. And the interesting thing is the alabaster has a lot of tone and texture to it, too. It almost looks translucent in some points. It's a little yellow and gray in some points, and you can see the veins of it. But it has this milky sort of creaminess to it in different parts as well.
And it does. This is one where really walking around it and continually walking around it, too, it is very key to reading this piece, because the curves really kind of change and flow through as you're walking around it.
And I'm glad that they didn't put a glass, like, vitrine over this. You know, if we wanted to get up close, we can look at it with nothing filtering in our way. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's almost like, I really want to touch it.
Me too. I was just thinking, I want to run my hands over it. Like, yeah, it's so perfectly smooth. Like, it's just, it's delicious.
Yes.
So that's, I think, a good description. It's a pretty simple, straightforward piece, and you can see all the pictures and stuff. But as we started to say with our references, there's a reason it's kind of sexy.
Yeah. So definitely my first reference was to one of those curvy little fertility goddess figurines that you would see in, like, a natural history museum.
Or just even, like, kind of like a body, you know? It's a nude in some ways. To me, this is the Venus de Milo, especially because it is just sort of a torso.
Mm-hmm. And then, well, I think also the fact that the title is Marin, which is a woman's name, really kind of points to that.
A feminine, yeah. Yeah, definitely. My other reference is totally off the wall. My first thought was, like, Anish Kapoor. It's the same. It's sort of, there's, like, a space age element to it. It's kind of futuristic, but it's also very natural and organic. Mm-hmm. And this one also, I feel, it has that balance of, like, it's kind of futuristic, but it's also very natural.
That actually sort of occurred to me, too, briefly while I was first looking at it. I think Anish Kapoor is a very apt comparison.
Thank you. I was worried about that one, but thank you.
I like it. I also kind of reference Andy Goldsworthy, just in the way that it works with the material and is so in concert with the naturalness of the stone. It is a bit reminiscent of an Andy Goldsworthy, even though it doesn't have that temporal, the same kind of temporal thing to it. But
you could also even think about, like, it could have just been waves eroded this, you know? Like, it doesn't look like something that was carved. And I think that's sort of the point of her work as well. And we'll talk about that. But I get Goldsworthy.
Yeah. Or it could be, like, one of those windswept kind of things where it looks like it's been very polished over time rather than, like, man-made sculpture.
Yeah, absolutely. And the name Marin not only is a woman's name, it's also the name of a town in Cornwall. So there's sort of, like, an echoing of the Cornish windswept hillsides and the sea and things like that. I think there's definitely an evocative nature of landscape sort of in this too, you know? Mm-hmm,
totally. Barbara Hepworth, she's considered to have made some of the first completely abstract sculptures.
Yeah, she was working around the same time as people like Henry Moore, and they were trying to explore, how do you make sculpture abstract, not in the way that we talked about with Lipschitz and the Cubists, but really sort of, how do you take the form of the material and bring it into abstraction? And they were doing something called direct carving.
Mm-hmm. So direct carving is kind of the opposite of the modeling process. So with the modeling process, you can imagine like with plaster, it's an additive process, right, where you create the form that you're trying to get to, whereas carving is you're subtracting away from an original core of material.
Right. And even someone like Michelangelo, who was carving out of marble, he had already prefigured and done studies and models and drawings. Hepworth and Moore and their other cohorts were talking about, well, how can we just let the like material speak to us, which is a totally different, radical, in some ways, departure for sculpture.
And also not having any kind of armature or other support outside of the material that is started out with. And also, I think a key difference for me when I was thinking about this and what is the core difference is that with something like, you know, the David, even though it's also a sculpture that's made out of a stone, you're kind of looking past the material to see the form that the sculpture is trying to create. And with this, she's really trying to make you look right at the stone itself.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's a good point, that you're not looking at David as marble, you're looking at how well he renders the figure, whereas this, you are looking at the alabaster. And I think she wants you to see that. So she wants you to see it as material, not just as a means to an end. This is the end.
Yeah, it's almost sort of like evoking the inner being of the stone.
Yeah.
Does that sound cheesy?
No, it does. No, I totally, like, what was this stone saying to her as it sort of came into being? Which then, for me, begs the question, and when we talked about Cartier-Bresson, you know, we talked about as a photojournalist, he's looking for the decisive moment, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're carving directly and you're not doing sort of a prefigure study, you're not modeling, do you have a decisive moment? Is there just a moment when she goes, okay, done, that's it.
Right.
It's what it's supposed to be. Or do you think there's like, oh, if I just chip this tiny little bit more, okay, I'm done. Okay, now it's it. No, I've ruined it. Like, you know.
Yeah, no, knowing when you're done is such a key thing. And I think that that comes with maturity for a lot of artists. It's as crucial to the process of creating, like stopping is crucial.
Yeah. So, but with paint, you can either like paint over, you can wipe off. Like this, you have to stop. I guess she knows, right?
Yeah. I mean, my sense is that there's just sort of a, God, it's going to sound so new agey, but like communing with the material in a way. Yeah. Like you got to think about like how much she is in tune with all of the aspects of the alabaster, like its hardness, its density, its color, its veins, the curvature of the piece. I'm sure she worked like really, really in tune with her material.
Yeah, I bet you're right. I bet there's just like this, same with Cartier-Bresson, you just know.
And it's just so beautiful. I love all the shadows. I would love to have in my home and just look at it every day.
That is totally what I was thinking. Sometimes when I go in a gallery, I play which one of you would I take home, and this is by far, like I walked in and I was like, I will take you. That will be, yes please, wrap it up. Like, yeah, it's uber awesome. It's the softness and fluidity of the stone, right? So, and there's, that's where the tension comes in, because it's soft and central and supple, but it's this super hard material, right? So this, you're making this hard thing fluid.
Yeah, I was going to say very similar, that it's sort of the stillness and fluid form of it, that that's where the tension is for me, but it's very along the same lines.
Yeah, it's connected to its material.
There's an interesting quote that I found from Barbara Hepworth that sort of touches on that. I have always been interested in oval or ovoid shapes, the weight, poise, and curvature of the ovoid as a basic form. The carving and piercing of such a form seems to open up an infinite variety of continuous curves in the third dimension. Here is sufficient field for exploration to last a lifetime.
Interesting.
Yeah. And it does, it creates, the piercing creates this continuous flow across the surface visually.
Yeah. Right, your eye is always sort of moving around and keeps getting drawn in and out of the negative space and around. And, yeah.
It's an awesome piece for this museum, the National Museum of Women. So this is the first time that we've done a piece from here.
That's
so I think
true.
This is a good first one.
Yeah. No, and it's cool that, like, it's surrounded by all its sisters, you know what I mean? It's like, there's a Frida Kahlo, there's a Georgia O'Keeffe in here. It's like, rock on, ladies.
Like a Georgia O'Keeffe / Barbara Hepworth. Everybody would go home and bone.
Exactly. My parents listen to this. No.
Okay.
The George Archive is another one for another time, but let's bring it back and we'll wrap it up. Final thoughts?
Well, to me, this one is all about material. Mm. You know, if you had to open up the textbook of art history or your art appreciation, and there'd be your chapter on color and your chapter on whatever, this would be about form and material and how they work together. I think that it really comes down to that.
Yeah, no, I think I don't have anything more to say. That's perfect. It is the essence of the material speaking for itself, right? The material is the piece and the piece is the material.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Next time on The Art Attack, this isn't just your average love story, is it?
Oh, no, it is not, my friend. This is much, much more. And this is just isn't your average episode of The Art Attack. This is Art Attack Detectives.
Yes. Art Detectives.
Dun, dun, dun.
Check theartattack.wordpress.com for our new episodes and postings, or subscribe on iTunes to The Art Attack Podcast.